Meanwhile, let's talk technology. A man who lives in a virtual world. I'm not even sure he exists, although he has got a voice. It's still Garion. Are you there?
Good evening, Phil. Yes, I am here.
That's good. You made it 2 weeks in a row. And you want to talk about...
Yes.
You want to talk about viruses and things.
Well, yeah. Look, I've kind of, just this week, for another little podcast that I do called Patch Monday, did a kind of halfway through 2012 from an information security viewpoint.
Right.
At the end of last year, there was a sense that 2011 in all the media circles was being the year of the hacktivist because we had Anonymous and Lulzsec hacking into all sorts of websites, including the news, international newspapers in Britain, The Sun and so on.
Well, it's good to give them a taste of their own medicine, isn't it?
Well, yes, a bit of hacking back. Although my big gripe about all of the phone hacking scandal is that no phones were actually hacked. It was voicemail that was hacked.
Yeah, that's very true.
You know, is that being a pedant?
Yeah, being a little bit technical, maybe. But, you know, you're allowed to do that because that's what you do.
Yeah.
But how much of this, how much of this hacking last year was sort of like large scale hacking? I mean, aren't we getting all excited about the fact that, you know, now we're hacking into government systems and, you know, forget about nuclear war now. We're just going to wage a war on the internet and bring countries down.
Well, that's it. I was going to say that if 2011 was the year of the hacktivist, at the beginning of the year of 2012, all of the kind of pundits were going, oh, it's going to be the year of cyber war. Mm. You know, and it's going to be nation-state actors, which I think just means countries doing stuff to each other. And halfway through the year, I'm kind of starting to think it's all been distinctly overhyped. Now, we have had maybe one thing ever which was kind of cyber war, and that was a thing called the Stuxnet worm the other year. And that was released, it's now pretty certain, a joint US-Israeli operation released into Iran's uranium enrichment program to screw it up.
Right.
And that's kind of, is it an act of war? It depends on how you read the law. But the law of armed conflict says it's not an act of war until the person on the receiving end says it was. And Iran hasn't said it was, so it isn't.
What I don't understand still, Garion, is with all of this, why do we connect all these things? Why, you know, why does everything have to be connected to the internet? If we've got something which we don't want anyone to hack, just don't have an electronic connection of any sort. Surely that's simple.
Yes, this is the air gap, as it's called. You know, you don't have the networks connected. You have your secure network, say, for running a power station or a military facility, and that's not connected to the internet.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't work for about three reasons. One is that people are cheap, and they tend to kind of just, oh, well, all you guys on the internal control network need to be able to get to your email, so we'll just hook this computer across to the internet and kind of breaks the air gap. There's also the fact that contractors bring their laptops into the supposedly secure facility and can bring infections in that way when they plug them into the internal network.
Right.
And the other one is all of the computers in the internal network still have to have their software updated. So again, people bring stuff in from outside.
Yeah, rather than bringing in a bunch of floppy disks to load.
How old are you, Phil?
Showing my age, aren't I? So what you're saying is everything is, so there's no way around it. Everything is connected. If I go on Facebook, I'll probably find some Iraqi nuclear plant has probably got its own Facebook page that I can like.
It's all connected up so people can maintain it and whatever, and it's all fairly porous. But look, what we've seen so far, I suppose, this year, it hasn't been cyber war, it's been cyber espionage. And I hate the word cyber, but I'm sticking with it for the moment. And espionage is just what countries do to each other. And now that information is on computers, funnily enough, the spies are looking on computers to get information. That's been going on forever. So, you know, there's really nothing new. And I spoke to, you know, one of the guys who's at an information security company, and he reckons that 0.1% of the stuff they have to deal with is nation-state state actors and all this big cyber war, cyber espionage stuff. The vast majority of it is just all the standard low-level criminal rubbish that happens on the internet that we've put up with for years.
Mm.
And I suppose it's...
Only more of it, I suspect.
If you go down to a shopping centre, you know, how many people in the shopping centre are spies for MI6?
Well,
I
wouldn't know that answer unless they're really bad at it.
And thieves and fraudsters.
Yeah. So all the low level stuff could be like my website no one ever goes there. Places like that, which I was hacked actually.
The way that crime is done online keeps shifting and changing, and the bad guys are always trying to get you to visit a website that is infected with their nasties that will then infect your computer, and then they take control of your computer and go from there. And rather than kind of manually hacking websites, they have automated tools to look for vulnerable websites. And, and one of those that's pretty popular at the moment is there's a content management system, a blogging system called WordPress.
Yeah.
There are millions of websites around the world built in WordPress. I suspect yours is.
No, mine, I'm using Joomla, but I've got one website on WordPress, but same idea. These are all free distribution content management systems that a whole heap of people use.
Look, it's a great tool, but unless you keep it up to date with all of the security updates as they come out, the bad guys can just really easily take it over and use it for nefarious purposes.
Well, I guess the thing is they're standard format, aren't they?
They scan the entire internet looking for vulnerable websites.
Yeah.
But then it's your website, but they load it up with malware so that when anyone visits your website, their computer, well, it may not be infected if it's properly defended, but they'll have a go at infecting the computer of every website visitor.
Yeah. Well, what I was hit with was when anyone went from Facebook or was directed to my site from LinkedIn or from tweets or whatever, they were redirected to some spurious website in Russia. And I think that's a very common way, isn't it? You have those redirects. I can't remember the particular file, but I think that's fairly common. And I guess
They'll it's sometimes difficult to put the kind of malicious software directly into your website. So they'll just redirect it somewhere else, or they'll bounce it across to another country. They might put spam links in your website to link to their pharmaceutical company, which sells absolutely genuine medicine on the internet. there's a whole ecology, really, of different kinds of criminal businesses operating online. It's got so professional now that the guys selling the toolkits to break into computers, they just do that as software developers and sell that as a product. They sell that to other people who then do all of the break-ins, or they might do the spam. And they have other people to do the kind of fake advertising and still other people to do the money laundering.
So I guess is this a reason you shouldn't use these content management systems? I guess one of the, they're free and they're easy. Well, they're not easy. They have a bit of a learning curve to a lot of them, but they're free and they've got a lot of functionality. So almost anybody can create a website with them. But I guess they're a standard template.
Well,
and that's the fact that they are a standard template makes them easier to get into because you know exactly the structure of the files. You know where the important files that you want to change are located, and a lot of them are, available on the open internet.
Well, yeah, look, it comes down to really the rule with any software. You have to keep it up to date.
Mm.
And we're used to Windows or Mac OS X automatically updating once a month, and a lot of application software does that as well. We're used to doing that. But when it comes to, the content management system that we built our website with, a lot of people particularly, and these tools are attractive to people who are just getting started on the internet, they set up their website and then they may not come back and make any changes for months. So they miss the big red warning sign saying, please update to the new version. So it's really just like anything, getting in the discipline of maintaining it properly. And, you know, I don't see that as being any different from, you know, checking the oil and water in your car, although there's red lights that do that for you these days, or brushing your teeth in the morning.
Yeah, yeah, every day if you can manage it is always a good idea. Still going,
and my dentist keeps telling me about that.
And floss as well if you want to live for a long time. Hey,
this has got nothing to do with information security, but I grew up in the country and I waited years to find out, like, what is this floss stuff? It appeared on American television programs as far as I could tell, and then sort of, you have to do floss. You know, What's floss? I know what fairy floss is when you go down to the Royal Show and you know, it's that cotton candy.
Are you you converted now? Are you a flosser now?
Occasionally. I'm a bit of a fan of the toothpick.
Right. We really are getting a long way now. And you listen, we're into a dangerous territory because I could talk about decaying teeth for a long time because obviously I am a POM. I've got National Health teeth. That means I will have had, like anyone who's born in England, immense trouble. And I could talk for an hour and a half about teeth, but I think we've probably done that for now. Stilgarian, appreciate your time. We'll talk to you again. More security and computer stuff next week here on Balls Radio. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, and possibly some dental tips as well.
Yeah, we'll see if we can fit it in. Stilgarian, you can catch his blog on ZDNet. He does a weekly podcast on ZDNet called Patch Monday each Monday on ZDNet. Funnily enough, you find a very good podcast there on Thursdays too.